are in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany of the word means the light has shined. And it's a religious word, but it's also a secular word. We speak of having an epiphany. Anybody here had an epiphany lately? It's when the light goes on, when we see something, realize something that we hadn't seen or realized before. We become woke. Well, Epiphany is the woke season of the church year. As we wake up and see Jesus Christ for who he is, what he is, what he came to do. And the baptism of our Lord gives us such clear insight into this Jesus, whom we call our Savior and our Lord. We get woke to Jesus through Epiphany, because it's during the Epiphany season that we're going to be hearing, especially in the gospel, the deeds, the words of Jesus, which reveal him to us for what he is and for what he is all about. And it begins with the baptism of our Lord. The baptism of our Lord by John at the Jordan River. Some 30 years have passed since last Sunday's gospel, which dealt with the coming of the wise men, the flight into Egypt, because the crazed Herod feared that he had a competitor to the throne and was out to kill the child. 30 years or thus have passed since then. At least that's what Luke tells us, that Jesus was about 30 years of age when he began his public ministry. And he begins by going to John for baptism. John, as we remember, maybe remember hearing from the Advent season, was out in the wilderness baptizing people. People were in expectation of something big and important about to happen. And when people in those days were intent on revitalizing their religious, their spiritual life, the wilderness was where they would go. You know, Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years before she came to the promised land. Those were difficult days, but as time went by, those difficult days became the good old days. Like people who lived through the Great Depression in our own country. I'm a Depression baby. People had difficult times making ends meet, putting food on the table. But as the memory of all of that faded, those too came to be known as the good old days. We didn't have much, but we had each other, and we had our Lord. So for Israel. And the people just flocked out in the wilderness in great numbers, which in itself is amazing. He was on the east bank of the Jordan, modern-day Jordan River, modern-day Jordan, and there he was baptizing, out in the middle of nowhere. And people came flocking to him. Those Advent readings told us from throughout Judea and all of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, by the way, was about a 2 or 3 day journey from the place where John was baptizing. And the surprising thing is that Jesus came to John to be baptized. As we heard in the gospel for this day, John protests. He tells Jesus, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And our Lord's response was, "Do it. This is right and proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." It's the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do because of who Jesus was, what he had come to do, what he had come to accomplish. And so he entered those waters of baptism, underwent the baptism that John was carrying out with so many hundreds, if not thousands, of people who flocked to him. And as I say, that's surprising, because the Jewish understanding of Messiah surely was not what Jesus was coming to be and to do. The Jewish understanding of Messiah was that Jesus would be a world conqueror, restore the glory and grandeur of Israel to her former state, as it was in the days of David and Solomon, the golden era. And that was the last thing in all the world that Jesus was going to be and to do. He was indeed Son of David, but Son of David like another had been before him or would follow after him for that matter, subjecting himself to the waters of baptism. There is a story that I came across that I think helps to understand this. It's the story of a mail boat plying the West Indies. And on board were some passengers, a man with his little dog, and some kids were on board as well. And as they sailed from island to island, one of the boys, the little boys, was playing with the man's dog, throwing a stick up on deck, and the dog would go after them and bring it back again. Well, as it happened, that stick skittered off the end of the deck one time. And the dog, of course, kept going after it, jumped into the water to retrieve it. Well, the owner of the dog came rushing to the captain of the ship and said, "You got to stop the ship. My dog went overboard." And the captain said, "For a dog, I'm supposed to stop this ship? No way. If it were a human being, that's another story." And so the man shouted to the captain, "So for a man, you will stop the ship." And with that, he jumped into the water. The ship was stopped. The dog and the man were both rescued. That's what our Lord, in a sense, did when he got baptized in the Jordan. Jumped into our situation, our messy situation here on this earth. Immersed himself in our problems, our troubles, our difficulties, our worries, our woes, so that he could get under it and carry it for us and deliver us from it. As our Lord came up out of the waters of the Jordan, having been baptized by John, another surprising event took place. There was a voice from heaven. And that voice was heard by our Lord for sure, but also by others, it seems, because John later on talks about that very occurrence. And the voice said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Now those words come directly from the Old Testament, from Old Testament prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first, "You are my beloved Son," that's straight from Psalm 2. And Jewish people, even to this very day, believe that Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm, a psalm that speaks about the promised Savior. And the second phrase, "With you I am well pleased," that comes from our reading for this day from the Old Testament, Isaiah 42. In fact, the first of the so-called servant psalms in the book of Isaiah. They declare that the promised Messiah is going to be a servant, a suffering servant. Those servant readings in the book of Isaiah, and there are four of them, culminates with Isaiah 53. We'll be hearing Isaiah 53 on Good Friday. Every Good Friday, that is the Old Testament reading. Let me share with you some of what Isaiah 53 says. It tells us that this promised servant was despised and rejected of men, a man of suffering and acquainted with grief, as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. But then it surely dawns. He has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his stripes we are all healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that sound like? It sounds like Jesus, and indeed it is, telling of what he, the suffering servant of God, the promised Messiah, would do. And that's revealed. That's the bright light that shines on that event of the Lord's baptism. Shown to be Son of God, promised Messiah, suffering servant, who would give his life for us all. That's the program. That's the plan for our Lord as he began his public ministry, laid out in that baptismal scene. It is interesting that towards the end of our Lord's life, when he is just before he goes to Jerusalem for the very last time to be taken into captivity, tried in a kangaroo court, nailed to a tree, just before all of that transpired, John mentioned in his gospel, it's chapter 10, verse 40, he, Jesus, went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. He goes back to his beginnings, to his roots, and there remembers again God's commission of this man. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. You are my chosen one, destined to be my suffering servant, who would give his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for us all. That's the epiphany that is ours of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was baptized. And it is noteworthy to mention at the same time that our baptism is our own personal epiphany. When we are baptized, we get woke to Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us, how he bore our sins and carried our sorrows and took them away and gave us life, a life that indeed is eternal. That's the gift that is ours in our holy baptism. That point is made clear in so many of the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, that tell us of our blessings. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death, that just as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life. That's from our epistle for this day. And so you, Paul goes on in that epistle, must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Remember what happens at our baptism, at any baptism. We may have slept through it, but miracles were taking place whenever that water was splashed upon us. It was in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that our baptism happens. God puts his label on us, on you and on me. You are mine now. I own you. You belong to me. And I'm always going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's what God is telling us as we get baptized in his name. I'm yours. You are mine. And I'm going to live in you and with you, and I'm going to live through you as well. That's the hope and promise of our baptism as we get to have our own personal epiphany Once again, we may not have realized, we may have even slept through it, as I'm told I did when I was baptized. But I know without question whatsoever, I am now God's child. And not anything in all the world is going to change that. Though I may desert him, I may walk away from him, but he will never walk away from me. He is always there with open arms to receive us, because I am, because of my baptism, his own dear child. And that lays a responsibility upon me as well. In my baptism, I have been, and so have you, we've been christened. We've been made Christ's and are meant to live the life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived. We too are called to be the servants of our Lord. It is only through the mystery of self-sacrifice, writes Carl Jung, psychoanalyst, long gone now. It is only through the miracle of self-sacrifice that we can be born anew, he says. Jesus put it even more simply. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel, he says, he's the one who finds it. And that's meant to be you and me. To live our lives to the Lord who lives in us and with us and through us. Fact of the matter is, you and I, we too have been epiphanized. That means that Jesus Christ is in us, lives in us, lives with us, lives through us. So what do? We let it shine. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.